to the skies very high.
Hello and welcome to Talking PPG Radio. My name is Will Jones. The following information is not for training, but personal experiences and reflections on the world of power paragliding as I know. All guests of Talking PPG Radio have formed their own ideas, thoughts, and opinions on the world of power paragliding. They are not necessarily the thoughts or opinions of Talking PPG Radio. You may agree or disagree to what you hear. Talking PPG Radio is here to get conversations, thoughts, ideas about the world of power paragliding. Safety first. I highly recommend a qualified instructor. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy.
Hey guys, Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Welcome back. Hopefully you enjoyed that last episode with Johnny Fetz. Once again, let me thank Johnny for coming on. What I have for you now is, as a matter of fact, there's four of us, not just me. Terry Lucky, Phil Atkins, and Jay. And I would say his last name, but I don't want to really mess it up. So he does say it in the talk or whatever like that. I ended up calling my good friend there, Terry, and we were chit-chatting. He was talking about there were some fly-ins coming up, and you know, and I was wondering about the Holland, Michigan one, wasn't sure. And he said that Jay had basically, you know, taken that over. And then I remember on the Michigan forum, Phil had mentioned something about having a fly-in at Northport, which I wasn't even sure about what you know, where, when, how, or whatever like that. So I got in touch with all three of them, and we talk. And we talk about the two fly-ins that are coming up July 4th weekend, which is the Northport, and then the 11th through the 13th, which is the Holland, Michigan, the Beach Run fly-in that's coming up. So I want to thank those guys for coming on. We're going to get right into it. I'll talk to you on the back end of it. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Thanks for listening.
Hey guys, welcome back. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Got in touch with, I guess, I'd say four Michigan friends, buddies I've flown with. Actually, I'm flown with them, Missy. I guess Phil Atkins on the line. Phil, welcome. Also have Terry Lucky, Falcon 4 Struck out of Dorn, Michigan. And then Jay, I forgot your last name, buddy. Could you tell everybody your
Lingans.
Last name? Okay, there you go.
Lingans. It's one of them that are easy to murder.
Exactly. So hopefully everybody got that. But guys, welcome on Father's Day. I greatly appreciate your time and everything. Glad to talk to you guys. And like I said, I haven't seen you guys in over a year, a couple of years. Jay, I haven't seen you probably in a couple, 2 years. And
probably, yeah.
Yeah. So, how's everybody going? Doing all right? We were just talking about, you know, how much flying we've gotten in so far this summer. So,
yeah, good to be here.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you, Will.
Same here.
Good.
It's been a slow spring for me, I'll tell you. Only three flights. So, about 3 hours apiece.
That was you, Phil?
That was Terry. No, just joking.
No. You know what? I was just, wow, Terry, you sound like Phil. Huh. Bad connection. Anyway, go ahead. Oh, well, okay. Hey, Terry, Falcon 4 Stroke, yes, how's it going, buddy? Been seeing, well, you haven't put a video up in a while, other than your mad creations and carts and stuff. So how's the Falcon 4 Stroke going these days? How's everything going up there?
Yeah, well, I was just mentioning in our little introduction there earlier, before the show started, that flying here, I mean, we had an atrocious winter. It's just a really difficult winter here in Michigan. In fact, I think, Jay, you may have set a record up by you, haven't you, in snowfall?
Almost to the top of my garage door.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, oh, it was a trap.
He posted real close to the lakeshore, and they just got totally hammered out there.
And, to say the least, yeah.
But all of us, and this really hung on to a sort of a upset weather pattern for spring here anyway. And so it was really difficult to pick a day you felt like going flying on. You know, it was either cold or windy, or, you know, the wind drops off right at dark, so it just doesn't work out. But recently now it's been... I've fallen into a lot better pattern here. I've been flying quite a bit. I've been training often when I go out. And so it's a late spring, late start, but so far so good.
So far so good. Wow, great. And Phil, you recently moved, and I'm sure a lot of people missed your Christmas party, which it's funny thing is, like, you know what? I'm going to try to go to his Christmas party. Oh, it's canceled. That sucks. So you moved recently, I understand.
We moved over to the west side of the state where we've had a place for a number of years and are building a new house. And so we moved just before the holidays. Actually, I think we pulled the last trailer load out the day before Thanksgiving.
Mm.
But I'm set up real neat here. I've rented space in the community hangar in Niles. I have all my equipment there. And if the weather would cooperate, I hope to get a lot of flying. It's a pretty place to fly over here.
Oh, wow.
And it's not that far from Terry and Jay. I can pop up there.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. You said you got three flights in maybe yourself? So.
Yeah, I've only had three, but they've been long ones. I've about 3 hours apiece.
Okay.
And just the combination of trying to build a house, and I still am commuting back to the east side 3 days a week for work, so that adds a level of time consumption to the whole plan that slows things down.
Yeah. Well, guys, if you're not familiar with Phil and Cindy Adkins, you guys have been PPGN for how many years? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Well, we started in 1998, whatever that adds up
to. Okay, many years. Llamouette, let's see, what's some of the old ones back then you used to fly, you know? So.
You know, we still have our Llamouettes. They're in storage over here, and we have both our original pieces of equipment. I'm waiting for them to start appreciating in value. They seem to be going only a bunch of practice.
Okay. I have to remember
that. I haven't heard that one yet, Phil. That'll be a Although, they may have some museum value at some point.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Well, the chromoly steel is right now the, you know, the most valuable part of the whole thing.
Is there a scrapping it? All right, Jay, man. What's going on? All right, Jay, I met Jay up probably about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, up in Michigan, flying in Holland. And, you know, it's funny, Jay, the one thing I remember is that four-stroke machine you were trying to get going. I don't know whatever happened to that, but
sure.
What's going on? How you doing, man?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm doing great. That machine ended up running and somewhat proven its worth, although I weigh a little too much for kind of what I built it for.
Yeah.
So it didn't prove its worth so much with me, but... the gentleman flying it now actually loves it. It's a project just to try out and have fun with and try new things, experiment, and try to keep up with the competition and technology and things like that.
That is excellent, man.
Hey, this is Terry. I have a question for you, Jay. Is there a guy that's flying that consistently now?
I'm not sure how consistent. Last I'd heard from him, he'd had three or four flights on it after he had received training.
Oh, yeah. How heavy was he?
165. And I'm about 30 pounds more than that.
So did you find his climb rate to be at his weight? And was it competitive with a top 80, say?
I would say competitive with a Randy and top 80, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which both as well weren't that great at my weight.
Yeah, right.
Well, no, but that's actually saying something. You know, I think there could be developed. I'm not saying there's a pent up demand for a four stroke in backpack, but I think there's a niche there. I think actually
there is. The problem I see is developing one that puts out enough horsepower without essentially being a grenade with a pinball,
right.
And you got to fly that thing around. Knowing all reliability is almost gone then, which is kind of the intent of going with four-stroke, is to gain that little extra reliability and cleanliness and environmental, and there's a lot of other reasons, and also being a lot quieter. And the machine is super quiet. But, yeah, having to build a small engine, just as we already are with our two-strokes, to make the maximum power that we can, we're risking, you know, issues.
Yeah. Mm.
What kind of weight did you get overall on the machine? Where'd you get it down to?
Final weight was ended up being 68 pounds,
okay.
And that was with electric start.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Okay.
What ended up happening is the first engine was full start, but as compression went higher and bigger cams and things like that, it got really difficult to start, even with an operational decompression system there. So we ended up converting it to electric start, simple push button. I totally love it, too. You know, just hit the button and it's up and running. But with the additional weight penalty, too, that kind of fights against the whole power issue as well.
Wow. Very cool.
So that, again, this is Terry. That ended up at about, if we say it was competitive with a Radney or a Top 80, which the Top 80 probably has a little more energy than a Radney does, in my experience, but that was probably a 11 or 12 horsepower engine by the time you were done, would you guess?
I'm sorry, more horsepower than the Radney and Top 80?
No, was it 11 or 12, do you think?
Well, I would have, if I would put a dyno on it, I would have to say it was around 17.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, but the dilemma being is it started out at 6.5, and so we're going to try to squeeze that much more horsepower out of that engine that really wasn't designed for it. So far it's holding out, still runs great and all, but, and I did some destructive testing all the way up to 10,000 RPMs to make sure it was even viable for our situation. But, the weight to power ratio is still not there unless you got wheels, to take a little extra weight out with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably would be a really good
one. Was there more vibration with it than with your Radney thing?
Less. Or okay. similar at idle, but less on, full throttle. And I felt that it was less annoying. The Radney at my weight, too, was pretty much full throttle everywhere you went, so you had that annoying chainsaw flying around in the air. But whereas the four-stroker had this really, it reminded me of a 200cc, 250cc four-stroke quad going up Silver Lake Sand Dunes at wide open throttle, it was a little bit more pleasant, I think, both to me and people on the ground.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just like I said, I remember
that's getting to be more of a thing that, how loud your machine is does make a difference between how outside people are influenced and react by it, by how annoying we are, so.
Well, yeah, and it's always been an issue. I just think that people are becoming more aware of it, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you.
There's more the people that already have a problem with us flying that now have found a point to follow, and, and it's something that we don't have to be loud. Nope. One of the things I see on a lot of machines is all the exhaust is pointing downward, to the crowd.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, then it bounces and it reflects and off buildings and trees and makes it heard farther, where I think if all of our exhausts, like some of the Simoninis and different machines, they point it upwards, and you can be as loud as you want, and you're not going to bounce against anything on the way, on the way up. So,
I never even thought of
wing,
that.
Your wing
something
turns
as simple
into this,
as that.
Your wing turns into this almost lethal parabolic, see?
Yeah.
And then it...
I never even thought about that with the exhaust. Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, in a lot of times we don't think about it because we're up there flying, we're enjoying, the adrenaline's pumping, the endorphins are going, and we're just, it's almost selfish, but we're just flying for us and we're doing it all for us. But yeah, we don't want to annoy people and ruin flying sites and, up here at Holland, if we fly real close to some of the cottages on the lakeshore, they'll call the police. It's our choice to bother them or not bother them, and so really the only they don't notice if we fly by and we're quiet. So it's just something to keep in mind,
Yeah, absolutely, because that is you like you said, losing sites to take off, and like I said, most of us are flying for ourselves, but there are several people that we all know that they don't care. So
right.
Yeah.
We have some guys that say, what guy? What color is his house? I know where they're going. I know what they're doing now. They want to make it worse almost. So we got to kind of kind of watch that, and even as our community, we can almost help police that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's been an issue at Holland in the past years, I know, during the fly-in, the event. I mean, the cops show up during the event, and that was something with you, too, so you were with Wolsey, wasn't it? That was a concern with Wolsey?
It is, just locally, you know, here, but I think everywhere. You know, the more people, congestion of us flying, and so, you know, if they hear one a day, they might not call, but after 10 of us fly by, they're like, hey, this is unacceptable, and, you know, we have our rights, they have their rights, and we just got to find that happy medium.
Go ahead, Phil.
This is Phil here. In answer to that question about Wolsey, that's my biggest fear, that this could turn out to be a one- or a two-off event because of the noise factor.
Okay.
The combination of the noise and the tendency of people to fly over the same area again and again and again is just a real problem. And like Holland, there are a lot of folks along the shoreline up there in the Leelanau Peninsula near Northport, Sutton's Bay, who have invested substantial money in what they think is going to be a quiet, peaceful weekend experience.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
You know, I think that they will have far more political pull regarding whether the event continues than, you know, a few of us who show up and enjoy it. So that's my biggest fear. I'm really surprised, Terry, that you've gotten the support from the township supervisor there in Park Township at the Holland Fly-In, which you have over, with regard to the complaints that have come in. He seems to be very supportive.
Well, they are, and Jay can speak to this. He's actually more of a native there, but in almost every year that I was involved in it, I would have the cops show up or responding to a complaint. They'd show up, and also I had, people who were in the cottages from time to time would show up.
Hmm.
In the case of the police, they were kind of on to the people who were complaining because apparently they would complain if a dog ran across their yard. It's kind of the same people. And
complain to complain.
In that case, I think. But another lady who came over last time that I was involved in it, she was actually kind of sweet about it, but she would make her a point. And I said, well, you know, the township office right there, they're really, you should be talking to them. And I never heard any more about it. In fact, we didn't have it last year, and I think they were disappointed. Some people were disappointed that it didn't happen. So.
Yeah, they were. In fact, I spoke with the airport manager, and I ran into pilots all over the country last year, it seemed like that. We're like, oh, man, no flying? neither myself or Terry didn't think that the community would react to it. But
that's actually the community. Y'all were getting,
Oh, yeah, the community, the people, Park Township actually contacted me and wanted me to fill out an email and some stuff that they could put in their newsletter to let the local community know.
Oh, wow.
And for the majority, because of time and Terry setting this up in the beginning, too, that people are kind of become acclimated to us and almost expect us. And then when we're not there, they wonder what's going on. But even right down to the Park Township officials, even. Where, you know, they're glad to hear that we're doing it again this year and are welcoming, opposed to, some people wince their eye and they're like, I guess we can let you do it. It's the opposite. They're like, hey, let's do this. They're really interested in it and want to promote it.
That's a good segue into talking about what guys we try to get these guys together to talk about the Holland Fly-In. And it, what is the name of what are you calling the fly-in up in Upper Park there, Phil?
Yeah, we've always called it the Beach Run, the Holland Beach Run, because Park Township Airport is about 2 miles from Lake Michigan and about a mile from Lake Makatawa. So as soon as you get up a couple hundred feet, all of you know as well as I do that, you know, all of a sudden the scenery opens up, and you're welcome to freely fly wherever you want from there, and our great sandy beaches, and hopefully weather this time of year, as long as it all cooperates. Some swimming in the lakes and enjoying everything that Holland has to offer.
What's the dates on your on the Holland Beach Run?
July 11th through the 13th.
coming through the 13th.
Usually there's some early arrivals. People show up about Wednesday. And if you show up any earlier, feel free to call Brian over at the Park Township Airport, and he'll gladly set you up. He may need you to move their mowing lawns or things like that. So he can always give you a debriefing if you want to show up earlier.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a unique airport in that sense that you're welcome, number one. And there, even though at fly-ins, you start out with good intentions of pilot control. Not control, I shouldn't say it that way, but with everybody behaving themselves in an aeronautical sense. And that quickly deteriorates in the first 15 minutes, I find, to herding cats, pretty much.
No.
And,
come on, we're better than that, Terry.
Oh, well, 20 minutes.
at least give us a half hour. Come on.
But at Holland, they've always been, Brian, the airport manager, he'll shake his head once in a while, but everybody just says, okay, this is what it is, there's not much you're going to do about it. So, and I probably could have put, and I'm sure Jay'll do a better job of organizing pilots and pilot briefings, maybe. I never did much of that. It was more of a, here's the airport, have fun over here.
And that's what it's going to be this year. You can grab a flyer that'll have some maybe guidelines and rules on it on your way in. Otherwise, if you've been there, take advantage of it, enjoy it, and just be respectful. That's really, and use your morals, and that's about it, really.
Let me, to make it to the beach, and you have to go across, a couple miles to get to the beach and everything, which I remember going there and seeing guys, couple hundred feet above, if that. I mean, is there actually, what is it to get up and over? You get on up? Because I always wondered, there was a couple guys, I'm like, are they at the treetops going across? That always...
Yeah, and some know better than others. There are a few little escapes that you can land into. But I usually recommend most pilots from out of town to stay at about 1,000 feet till they get almost to the lakeshore. And, there's areas where it could be considered congested, but like I said, we're very accepted. You can come and glide in over cottages, but mainly when you get out there, try to stay over the water and things like that. But otherwise, if you give yourself 1,000 feet, you've got safe alternatives just about in every direction.
Yeah.
At about 1,000 feet, if you cross Lake Makatawa, halfway across, you can glide with a motor out all the way back to the airport. So just to kind of give you a little... And that's about halfway. So, I'd prefer that everybody be safer than sorry. And, if you figure it out after your first few days of flying or hours of flying, you're welcome to go a little lower as long as you know you've got secured landing zones.
It's also unique there in the sense that it's not remote. It's actually almost like a little city airport.
Mm.
And so you have in both directions at the main exit of the airport, you can easily drive to restaurants and entertainment. Motels are not far away if they're inclined to stay in a motel.
Well, it's a good place to take the family, because there's a park there, too, right?
And, pardon me?
Isn't there a park there, if I remember correctly, some type of park?
Well, there's, of course, the state park. The state park at the end, 2 miles up, further to the, west. Is that right, Jay?
Yep.
Further west
yep.
is the state park. The road dead ends into that. And probably one of the finest state parks in the state.
Yeah.
And although swimming, Jay had mentioned swimming, I noticed the other day the water temps are 50, so that'll be refreshing, even in July.
Perfect. Yeah.
They were talking about that on the
day. To get in it.
That's funny. Yeah, they were talking about that.
I just love the Holland Fly-In because of the city around it. There's a lot of great places to eat and interesting things to do, and it's a pretty town. And for people who are not into flying, some of the wives enjoy the shopping there. There's a little village of Saugatuck a little further down the road that's good for an afternoon jaunt. And you got the state park, as they've indicated, a couple of miles away. And lots of other camping if you didn't want to stay at the airport, although to me that's three-quarters of the fun of the event.
Mm, yes.
And it seems to also draw a nice crowd from, Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin even. It's one of the better fly-ins of the year, I think.
I agree with you. I definitely agree with that, because even if you don't want to go over to the beach, there's plenty of farmland. What is that? Let's see. That's why I said it would be, you know.
Yeah, east.
East, yeah, of the airport and everything that, you know, at the time, cornfields and things like that. I remember the corn maze that one time I was up around, which was really cool. So, yeah.
Yeah, and they have flower farms there. There is a lot of outdoor flowers, and it's a really neat fly-in. And now we had one year where it got quite big. Actually, I think we counted that year around 60 motors there.
Wow.
I'm not sure everyone's flying. It's, you know, as fly-ins go, sometimes there's newcomers that come and don't fly.
Yeah.
And we did a motor count, not really a pilot count, because we never really registered pilots. But that was the biggest year of just one year in particular.
That's excellent. Well, all right, guys. July 11th and the 13th. You can show up a little earlier and get in touch with the airport manager's name?
Brian.
Brian.
Okay. Yeah, if you call right to the township airport, his number is actually on the answering machine. So,
okay. Did you guys put it on USPA?
Great guy to deal with.
Did y'all happen to?
It's
on USPA.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got it listed on USPA. So, if people need information, they can get more from there.
Excellent. All right, Phil, you're having one a little bit sooner, July 4th weekend. I don't know much about that, so we'll just let you introduce that, my friend.
Sure. I'll give you a little bit of the history and give some credit to the people who really helped do this. It started, I think, Mark Desk discovered this place. He vacations up in the Northport area. For those who don't know where that's at, if you imagine the mitten print of the state of Michigan, this is like the little finger part. Sticks out around Grand Traverse Bay and then on one side and Lake Michigan on the other. And Northport is really the northernmost town on that peninsula. And the airport is at a point on the peninsula just, maybe a mile or so south of the end of it, where there is a state park and a lighthouse right at the tip. And at the point where the airport is, the peninsula is about 2.5 miles wide. So as soon as you take off, you can see water to the west and to the east and to the north. And it's just absolutely stunningly beautiful. Anyway, Mark Desick made arrangements for a few people to go up there after talking to the airport manager a couple of years ago. And we all showed up, and almost immediately, local authorities started showing up asking what the heck we were doing there. And it turns out the airport manager didn't have authority to allow people to camp, although he had authority to allow people to fly.
Oh, wow.
But they were nice enough to let us stay, and we had a great fly-in. And Mark made the arrangements the next year, and we showed up, and the exact same thing happened again. But this time, one of the township officials made an effort to try to understand a little more about what we were doing, and said that he would be raising it with the township board. I wrote a letter explaining the sport and what we did and why it was appropriate to actually camp at a fly-in. And I'll tell you who was very, very helpful in this, and that's Brian at Frederick's. The Holland Airport, or the Park Township Airport manager there in Holland, that Jay and Terry have been talking about, I used him as a reference, and he was kind enough to talk to the airport manager and the supervisor, and I think was influential in their deciding to take this forward. So what's happened is they've actually modified their local policy to make an exception.
Wow.
They actually had a rule in place. There was no camping on any township or public land in this township. You had to go to a private campground or state campground to camp. So they made an exception for our event, and they've now replaced the airport manager as a different person, much more involved, and he's actually excited about this. Sees it as the perfect event for their place. They're even thinking about maybe trying to promote it in some small way. And, of course, we know from the past 2 years' experience that there have been a couple of complaints of people repeatedly flying over the same area. So I intend to put together just a little checklist, which is probably going to have the exact impact Kerry said they always do, where you tell people what you wish they would do, and then they go out and do what they're going to do anyway. But I think for us to have this as a continuing venue, we're going to have to be a little more careful than maybe you have to be if you're in the middle of a field in Ohio somewhere, just because of the high-end homes that are along both Grand Traverse Bay and Lake Michigan up there. These are not folks who will take annoyance lightly, I don't think, and I do think they will have some impact. So that's my big fear. On the good news side, they are excited about it. They think that we maybe even add a little to the local economy. Northport, in comparison to Holland, is just a tiny little village, not a city at all. And so actually we can have an impact, and one that would be appreciated. Somebody else who has been helpful is Dave Casper. He arrived every year like a day early and helped get people situated along the airport. There's not a lot of room for camping. That's another thing. It's a nice grass strip airport with two runways, but with the hangars and the woods and the other thing, we're packed in pretty tight. It's not quite as open as the Park Township Airport is. So anyway, I know Dave intends to be there July 3rd. We have permission to be there July 3rd through July 6th. That's Thursday through Sunday. Northport puts on a fabulous July 4th fireworks display. I don't know where they get the dough for this, but it is comparable to a big city fireworks. It goes on and on and on. And we've watched it from the airfield before. I think this year I may try to get in town. I'm not sure about this year, but in the past years, the July 4th weekend is also the Cherry Festival in Traverse City, which is about 15, 20 miles down the bay. And that's just a gorgeous city in and of itself with fine restaurants and entertainment. And then in the past, they've had the Blue Angels. I don't think they had them last year because of the government shutdown. Yeah. So that's an interesting additional attraction. It's very much like I hear Cape Cod is up in that area, but I've never been to Cape Cod, so I can't vouch for it. So anyway, it's everybody who has been was real excited to see that we got official sanction to do it again, because it's just you couldn't ask for a prettier venue to fly from. Now, there's an interesting aspect to this. The first couple years that we were there, we had just several days of great beach flying, and then there are cherry orchards and vineyards, because I had a lot of wine vineyards up in that area that you also can fly over. But last year we had an interesting phenomena, low wind, and we were getting, convection over the peninsula that was drawing air in off both Lake Michigan and off of the bay. So if you were right on the shore, either place, it was very nice flying, but when you got inland, it got pretty rowdy, about as rowdy as you'd care to fly in. So that's something to take into account, too. That's about all I can tell you, unless you've got any specific questions.
That was global warming.
Yeah, I can attest to Phil's, though, aspect of that area. It's just a beautiful, amazing place. As soon as you get a couple hundred feet in the air, like you said, it's all over the place. Just rocks and, you know, the peninsulas and the vineyards and... great area, and if it's something that you wanted to take your family, like you said, there's tons of things to do with Traverse City and Leelanau and different areas just within a 15-minute drive from there.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Terry.
My question was, how many people have you? What's the maximum pilot count you've had at that event?
I think maybe 12, 15 at the most so far. And
how
I think
would they
if
feel
can,
about it? If it's, is there a cap to that that would be comfortable, you think? Or?
You know, I asked them if they wanted us to cap it as we kind of felt our way through this process, and they didn't have any desire for that. I just think based on, I think once you get above about, 15 campers in there, it's going to get interesting in terms of, you know, packing people in. I'm not sure how that'll work out. that probably will be the big limiting factor for participation, is just how much space there is for the campers.
What's the distance?
Now, you know, on the other hand, I've been to Enjoy Field in, down in Kankakee. It's probably equivalent in terms of the amount of room around the runways. Now, there is another factor also I want to mention that applies to the Park Township Airport in spades as well, and that is these are active runways. They're, you know, twin-engine aircraft coming in and landing at Wolseley, and there's a lot of, I think there's significant air traffic there at Park Township. There's always planes touching and going. And,
oh, yes.
And, you know, that makes me a little nervous, too. We had one incident last year where somebody was out in the middle of the runway setting up, totally oblivious to the fact that a twin engine was trying to come in.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the last minute, somebody ran out and they drug the equipment off, and the guy came in and landed without incident. But, I, you know, that if one of those guys could make life tough for us, too, if they're not happy about being able to land.
Yeah. But that you will have that wrote out, though. I'm sure that'll be on your list of don'ts and do's. Yeah.
You can probably tell I'm far more paranoid about noise issues and these other community relation issues than I think probably either Jay or Terry are. I always marveled at Terry's laid back mental state during the Holland fly-in. Because Cindy and I have actually, you know, been kicked off a couple of airports along with our flying pals because of that issue, noise, where the neighbors just rose up and said no more, and the sheriff showed up and the authority showed up, and that was the end of it. So,
in the last 2 years, have you had any? Nothing? No issues at all? I mean, you're saying that that's a chance. How much of a chance? I mean,
We had one guy who, interestingly enough, was right at the end of one of the runways, the main runway, who asked us please not to fly over his house. And I think for the most part, people didn't do that. And then we had one pilot last year who I don't think did it, you know, for any malicious purpose at all, but flew over a little golf course that's nearby, and there was a complaint there. And once that was brought to our attention, we tried to stay away. What I encourage people to do is just don't go back and forth over the same area. You know,
right.
Launch, leave, get away, and go out and have some fun, and then come back and land. And I think if you do that, it'd be great. It's nice to leave people wanting more instead of infuriated that they got more than they wanted.
Yes. One thing I know, too, with a lot of these smaller airports, the 500-foot crossing rule. So you need to be at least 500 foot if you're going to cross the runway, unless it's an emergency situation at these airports as well.
Good point.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I was thinking about often when we had Holland, and I think this is something that is worth considering at other airports too, particularly for, and I'm thinking of, actually, relatively new and maybe folks who haven't been to a fly-in. And you can arrive at a fly-in all excited, your first fly-in, or maybe you don't go to many, or you're a newish pilot, and you can be quite intimidated by all the activity right at the flight line. And more pilots will, and most pilots will, you know, being lazy as we are, we roll out our gear as close to our camper as we can and fire it up and look for a clear air spot, and off we go, for better or worse, I guess. New pilots, especially at Holland, and I'm thinking of, I don't know about Wolsey, but at the Air Hog fly-in, new pilots don't have to, are restricted to the flight line. They can and should probably get off by themselves a little bit so they can feel more comfortable, number one. And secondly, if they got to stop and lay out, you know, they don't have the peer pressure of everyone watching them, all the eyes on them at that moment. And that was a suggestion I had, is that for new pilots who arrive at any of these fly-ins, is look around for a corner. You can do your own thing and take your own time setting up and doing your pre-flight, and without the pressure of being right on the flight line.
Good suggestion. I've gone through that, and you know, I'm sure most of us have gone through that being new pilots at one time, where especially our not even new pilots, is your first fly-in. I really remember that.
Yeah, another thing to remember, too, there's a lot of us out there willing to help, too. So if you're a new guy and you're coming to a fly-in, by all means, if you need help, any one of us, you just come up and ask us. It's a great community that we're involved in, and everybody's willing to help, whether it's laying out your wing or getting some tips or pointers or where to go. Most everybody's always willing to help. That's what kind of I love about this sport.
Yep, I agree with that.
Phil, anyway?
No, I think those are great tips. It is fun to see the camaraderie at fly-ins, the extent to which pilots go to help someone who's having difficulty or share in their misery if they have a mishap or their happiness if they do something cool. It's just the best way to fly, I think.
It's fun until you're part of one of those situations when everybody has a camera on you and, you know, they rather than give you a helping hand up. But other than my buddy Terry there, he did give me a helping hand up, you know, but, you know.
This is coming from a guy who created the most massive green soybean mist I think I've ever seen from the air. Bill, that was epic. The air hogs will never, ever do that. That was like watching pea soup being made, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I think Schultz finally took the video down, so nobody knows about it unless I talk about it. So
yeah, that's and there was a situation where I think he might have set up his cart 15 feet away from his trailer, as we all do.
Wet wing.
Because that is the correct direction to take off in, right next to your trailer, wherever that is.
Wet wing. It was everything, yes.
That's kind of a variation on Paul Anthem's goggles, you know.
Oh, gosh.
You don't need to call the weather. You just, you know, look at the orientation of your trailer. That's the way you say
yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, cool, guys. Oh, gosh. Can't think of that. Well, guys, go ahead.
I was going to say, don't forget to, if you need any tools or screws or rivets that you can't find anywhere else,
go feed Phil. Exactly.
An awful lot of my stuff is in storage now, Terry. I'm going to be coming light, so you can't rely on the grinder this year. I think the year that I carry was... doing an infield repair to a Fresh Breeze frame, which required a hose clamp and a grinder, and was shocked to see I actually had a grinder with me.
The hose clamp was normal, the grinder wasn't. Okay. That's funny. Well, that's great. Well,
that was one of those high-end technical repairs.
That's right. I'm big on hose clamps.
Well, there you go, guys. I can't think of anything else. So we got, what's your dates again, Phil? I know yours is coming up first.
It's Thursday, July 3rd through Sunday, July 6th. Northport, Michigan, Woolsey, Woolsey Field. And if you Google that on Google Earth, you get a great idea of just what that venue is all about.
Okay. And Jay?
And it would be really great if I could say... We have a Michigan PPG Facebook page.
Oh, you do?
I think anybody can join.
Excellent.
Yeah,
okay.
And if you could, I'm kind of asking for people that they intend to come. They don't have to do this, but it sure be nice to get a feel for how many people are going to show up. It'll help Dave Casper, who's going to be there on Thursday early, parking people.
Okay. Jay, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Still here, and... Yeah, ours is, again, July 11th to 13th, Park Township Airport, located right on Otto Beach Road, which is right off of US 31 if you're coming up into the Holland area. Not too hard to find, just head towards the lake, you'll get there. But yeah, it's open to everybody. Like I said, anybody that needs any help or has got any questions, you can always get a hold of me or any one of us or pretty much anybody there. Bring your swimming trunks and have fun.
Excellent. And Terry, what next mad contraption will we see out of you from Dorn, Michigan?
Oh, nothing mad. They've Are you speaking of the Falcon line now that we're talking about?
Anything. I mean, I saw a boat, a vertical,
yeah.
Or was it a horizontal? What else is, anything else we got?
Is that the tractor, PPG?
I guess that was the most extreme project. The boat thing I actually built a boat out of this winter. It was in my shop, so I decided I wanted to build a flat bottom boat to test as an airboat idea.
It was a long winter.
It was a long winter, yeah. And, I couldn't burn all the wood, so I used some of it to build this boat frame. I built a 10x5 or 5x10, just a flat bottom boat with a little tip up in the front, and the waterline. And I covered it with a quarter inch Luon plywood, which is cheap and not very strong.
Wait a minute, hold on. There was a test thing there, not very strong. Go ahead.
All right. It was definitely not waterproof. And so I was at the Home Depot, and they have a special on linoleum. They call it vinyl flooring now, kitchen flooring. And so I bought a sheet that was just the right size, so I glued that over the whole bottom so it wouldn't leak.
Oh, my God.
So it was linoleum flyer. and then I had a machine. I just rolled the whole machine into it and left it intact, and I put a little rudder on the back. And so that's what you see in the video.
The world's smallest aircraft carrier.
Oh, my gosh. That is great.
It would go 20 on the water, so... it didn't sink. It would, if you turned really sharp, it would tend to swallow a little water over the back gunnels in the inside, maybe 2-3 gallons at a time. So it slowed down over time, but and sank lower in the water. so that project's over. And then the really more interesting project was a fetish of mine, I guess. I was working on a vertical shaft engine where I do a belt transition to a standard oriented propeller. And I was using a single cylinder engine for that, 21 horse engine. And I've got quite a few flights on that.
Really? Wow.
And so that's sort of a work in progress. That's sitting around my shop, and I take it out. I mean, it's kind of a weak flyer at my weight. I probably weigh about 220, so... It's not it's certainly not anything I could sell in my weight range, but it was a bit anemic. But it was, I think, for lighter guys, for example, my buddy Bob would fly that at 160, and he was getting a competitive climb rate with it. So it's doable and interesting. Probably not marketable at this point, but it's...
Give out your website so people can go and check out your what you have to offer.
Yeah, if it's Falcon 4-stroke PPG, if anybody's interested in the machine itself, I don't have all the weird stuff on there, but there's certainly a lot of examples. And I have a Terry Lutke, LUTKE, YouTube, and I probably have 150 YouTubes of different machines I've built and sold and so on.
Well, great. Well, guys, thanks a lot. I'm not going to hold y'all up anymore. And like I said, happy Father's Day to everybody, and I greatly appreciate the time. And thank you very much, and hopefully I'll see you guys sometime this summer.
Maybe I can talk to you, Will. Look forward to seeing you.
All right, guys, there you go. Hopefully you got some good information there. And I know that the Holland Fly-In is on USPA.org there, and you can check out the information there. Northport information is not on there. I will see if I can't post it on my Podomatic page. It's at Woosley Field. It's at the airport July 3rd through Sunday, July 6th, 2014. I was just reading what Phil had posted on the Michigan list, so you can also go to the Michigan list, and looks like that's where he kind of announced it at. That's where I found out that they were going to have something. So, but the other thing, I didn't get a chance, I didn't realize it until I talked to Terry a little bit later, that Jay is also, well, he mentioned he's an instructor. And he's going to, at the Holland, Michigan fly-in, we kind of talked about, he's going to have some demo wings, Mac Pair, Dudak, BGD, and he's working on trying to get some an Ozone, and also he'll have a Pair Jet there that you guys can check out. So, and he's also a Nirvana dealer. So I'll try to get Jay on and talk about, well, I understand he actually has a school, a PPG school or whatever, so I'll try to get Jay back on and talk to him about that. So sorry, I didn't even, like I said, Terry told me that after the fact and everything. So guys, Holland, I loved it when I went there. I haven't been there in probably about 3 years, and I caught it when I did go like 2 years straight. I caught it 1 year where the weather was great. I caught it 1 year where the winds, and that's the one thing about Holland, is if the winds are blowing offshore, usually you kind of stay, you know. Of course, we went to, like we were talking about, the farmlands and everything. So, but once again, I want to thank those guys. I want to get this out there so you guys can actually listen to it. I'm going to get in touch with some other guys to talk about flies and stuff. The Kankakee one is the following weekend, I do believe, at Joyce Field. So that is a PPG 2 rating fly-in. It's PPG 2 rating fly-in. So, that's all I got for now. If you are new, once again, I will preach. It's a great place to go and check out equipment, talk to the pilots, any questions, get that fix. You know, I took off and just went to a fly-in myself for the weekend or for a day and didn't have any equipment at all. But what I learned, it just made the fire to get into this that much more so. And that's the big thing, ask questions before you buy. eBay, all that stuff, ask questions, get proper training. You will save props, cages, hey, how about your life? So all right, safety first. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio.
So I'm coming home, I'm running low and faggots. I promised my woman this is gonna be my last. I get the ship down, I tie her fast. And then some old boy walks up and he says, hey son, we'll make some fast cash. Treetop like a girl. Well, there's things I am and there's things I'm not. I'm a smuggler and I could get shot. I ain't going to die, I ain't going to get caught. You see, I'm a flying fool in an aeroplane. It's just too hot, I'm a true top fly. Born survivor, usually work alone.